A U.S. bankruptcy court trustee has taken steps to shut down conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' InfoWars media platform. Jones owes $1.5 billion in lawsuit judgments to the victims of families of the Sandy Hook shooting. With details, Chris Fox, CBS correspondent in Austin, joining us now. Chris, thank you so much for being with us. You know, for a while, it looked like InfoWars might stick around in some form, but I guess what we're hearing now is that it's going to be completely folded.
Yeah, and Alex Jones had been saying on InfoWars for the last week that he anticipated that this would happen, that it would probably be up and running for a few months and then fall victim to bankruptcy. You know, the trustee filing the emergency motion on Sunday, that was a result of one of the families appealed to a Texas judge to turn over all Free Speech Systems, that's the parent company of InfoWars, to turn over all the assets to the families. And the judge accepted that. And so what this emergency motion filed by the trustee would do would also prevent, it would stay that lower court decision, allowing them time to do this in somewhat of a quote-unquote orderly fashion. It was interesting. This kind of dates back to the June 14th bankruptcy hearing, where Judge Christopher Lopez did say that he did liquidate Alex Jones's personal assets, but did not liquidate Free Speech Systems and InfoWars. And so what that did was it left it wide open for families to go directly to a judge and do exactly this. Apparently, the trustee had planned on liquidating it, but not as quickly as he's now being forced to.
So I guess the concern was that maybe the money wouldn't be allocated equally across victims. It was that kind
That's
of the
one
concern?
Argument. It's one argument, although the family that filed suit in Texas asked the judge to turn over the finances, asked the finances to be turned over to the families, not just them. So it's not exactly known yet how this will play out. There was fear mentioned in the hearing on June 14th that Alex Jones had been moving assets and selling his supplements through his father's company and actually physically moved the assets to a storage facility. So the fear was that Alex Jones still being a part of this and this still up and running gave him an opportunity to siphon money off to families, to siphon to future companies, because obviously he has mentioned that he plans on establishing another company and another show on social media. So this doesn't stop this. This just goes directly against Free Speech Systems and InfoWars. There's also been a big question of how much money is there. And obviously not $1.5 billion, which is what the combination of the two lawsuit settlements were. In this case, it was argued in Austin court. Alex Jones saying somewhere between 9 and 12 million he has in assets. Financial expert coming in saying Free Speech Systems since 2012 is probably worth about $250 million. So there's a big discrepancy there. It'll be interesting to see how the trustee has been forced to kind of push the issue on this case. And as Alex Jones, as I mentioned, Alex Jones did say that he expected InfoWars to be shut down over the next several months. It is still up and running right now.
Okay. Well, CBS Court, and I'm sure you're going to have to continue to follow this then to see what happens next.
As I was saying earlier, I've learned more about bankruptcy court than I ever hoped to.
Than any of us ever wanted to know. Well, thank you for your coverage, Chris, and we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
That is Chris Fox, CBS correspondent, joining us from Austin. Let's turn now to the story of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. He has agreed to plead guilty to violating the Espionage Act and will be a free man. He's headed to a small island in the Pacific to enter his plea after being released from a London prison. It ends a 12-year legal battle. And joining us now to talk more about it, CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Thane, I feel like this chain of events just this week it surprised a lot of people. How did this deal come about?
Well, Megan, he has been fighting extradition for many years now, and so he's been serving his time in the UK. He's been claiming all along that if he were to be extradited to the United States prison, he would kill himself. I don't know how that worked in his favor, but somehow it managed to keep, you know, immigration cases move slowly. Extradition is a complicated question. The United States clearly wanted him for, as you said, a dozen years. But he was, you know, at one point he was hold up, I think, in a Swedish embassy in London, or Ecuadorian, sorry. And then he was released from that, and then he was arrested by the British. So he's not been free, per se. He's just been, you know, detained. I think the United States wanted to get this over with. I think he wanted to somehow explore whether he could be a free man. His view, Assange's view, is if I plead guilty, will I get the time served that I've been spending here, either in a prison in Britain or, you know, in under, you know, protection of a foreign country in an embassy, so that I don't spend any time in an American prison where I tell you I'm going to kill myself if I go. And so the pleading to this single count would have produced around 60 months of prison time, and they're basically giving it time served. So he's simply going to be on the record saying, yes, I did violate America's Espionage Act by releasing thousands of documents through email hacks, computer internet hacks, email dumps, you know, all related to the Afghanistan and Iraq war, diplomatic relationships with diplomats around the world, other state secrets. And by the way, the Russian interference case derived from the WikiLeaks. So he, you know, he's essentially pleading guilty to what the United States wanted, but he's not going to be punished any further than he's already been in the UK.
Dean, I know this was quite an unusual case, you know, because he was holed up in embassies for so long. When we look at past espionage cases, how does this compare, you know, especially with the U.S. agreeing to this plea deal now?
It's a good question, Megan. You know, I would say it's a sweetheart deal. Why? Because in all the other instances, Chelsea Manning, by the way, Chelsea Manning's in jail in part because she leaked what he got. So the people who ended up in jail, Edward Snowden, Chelsea Manning, the Rosenbergs, Jonathan Pollard, right? There's a long history of people who have taken classified information and shared it with another country or made it widely available. The Espionage Act was written specifically for this kind of thing. And so, you know, in a way, he avoided American justice for all these years. His record will show that he violated the Espionage Act. But let's face it, he was treated very differently, simply, as you point out, by managing to pull himself up in a place where he was beyond the reach of the American prison system.
I think you've kind of given us an answer, but I was curious where you fall on the question of, was this espionage, or was it, as his supporters say, just a journalist putting the truth out there?
Well, you know, that raises a, you know, a question of foreign policy, right? What's the relationship between a nation's need for state secrets, which we do? All countries preserve state secrets. Things that are classified don't get released simply because you have a press card. Just because you've got a, you're part of the media doesn't mean you're allowed to take something that is classified information and share it with the world. So, you know, his argument and his supporters are he's the most famous and successful whistleblower ever because he unloaded more classified documents than anyone could ever have imagined. But you got to remember, Barack Obama hates this guy. Right? So this is not a guy that's the darling of the progressive left. Nobody wanted to see him more punished than Barack Obama. Hates the guy. So I think let's just try to remember that, you know, this is not a left-right issue. This is a foreign policy State Department issue. You know, when it comes to state secrets and classified information, the White House, the State Department, the Defense Department, the Pentagon, they take this stuff very, very seriously. Look, Jonathan Pollard, you may remember, during the Reagan administration, was working as a contractor in the Defense Department, gave information to the Israelis, an ally, right? And the United States put him in jail and left him there until he, for several decades until he got cancer, he was finally released, right? That was not what Assange did. He sent it to the world. He sent everything to the world, and not just a one document, but thousands of documents. So I don't know. I mean, I don't work in public life in that way, but I understand that there is a need for state secrets, and all Western democracies understand that. And so you can make him look like a hero, but to people that work in the diplomatic field, they don't see it that way.
Thank you for your insight. Always appreciate your time.
Thank you, Megan.
That is CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joining us on KMOX.